Ah, Yellow Brick Road. Elton John, Connie Willis, Coast to Coast AM. That's a song that will song bomb you for about a week, and it's an awesome tune. And being in music radio from the past, that's a song that they played over and over again at one point, but then they just stopped. It was like everybody just got sick of it or something. But at one point, you wanted to play it again, and nobody would because I think the bosses were still sick of it. But what a great tune. And that's just always standing the test of time. Just a wonderful tune. Well, we are broadcasting live from more than 600 affiliates. That's a lot. That's in North America, including Puerto Rico, Guam, and Canada. And of course, global on the internet. I mean, this is Coast to Coast AM. And I'm out of the iHeart studios in Louisville, Kentucky, here at 840 WHAS. There's going to be a road through Skinwalker Ranch that's going to reopen. Did you hear about that? There's also this really cool quest to check out Siberia's Nessie. I know people into Nessie. I've never been into that one, but I know people really into it. There's also a long-lost nuke found off the coast of Canada. And also another story too, a mystic Chinese monkey. It predicts that Trump is going to be victorious. So if those interest you at all, then go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. There's all sorts of great stories just like that. Those are front page for you right there. And I want to say thanks to Lex Lone Hood and Sean DeLasure and Greg Bishop. They all take care of that site and do a great job at bringing you really cool stuff over and over and over and over again. They're constantly on it. And great information. So if you want to know something cool, that's where you want to go, to our website at coasttocoastam.com. Coming up, Gerald Celente, and we're going to let you guys ask some questions as well here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Gerald Celente, and Gerald has developed global nomic methodology. It's developed to identify, track, forecast, and manage trends. He calls himself a political atheist. And he also likes to say, because he got this wisdom once before as a child, think for yourself. He observes and analyzes the current events, forming future trends for what they are and not for the way he wants them to be. That's that ego thing again. It's the way we want it. That's what influences us all the time. But he can get rid of it. And he says, I look at the trends for what they are, not for the way I want them to be. Gerald holds a U.S. passport. However, he considers himself a citizen of the world. Now, he is the founder of the Trends Journal, and that's like on Facebook and .com and YouTube. He's got it everywhere. You cannot miss him. He's there. World's number one source for the most important trends that are shaping the future. It shows you how these trends will actually affect your life, how to profit from them. Yay! And what to do to avoid the pitfalls. So he's looking out for you. So regardless of business or profession, his Trends Journal, what it's called, provides insights, strategies, opportunities to help you navigate in this crazy, wild, treacherous world that we live in. Hello, Gerald
Hello, Connie.
Celente. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You know what? It's so funny that I got to meet you on the phone. This guy's incredible. Very nice man, very passionate. I know it's that it's he's a family man, you know? He cares about the people in his life and cares about people he's never met. I mean, I can just feel the passion and your vibe when I first met you. And it's funny, at least over the phone, that's how powerful it was. I watched some of your films, and then I've watched some of your videos where you're talking to people, not just looking at the camera and talking about the trends. And you have such a passion and a love for people. And the funny thing about that to me is that it overflows from you. And then when you do your trends, you can go crazy wild about how treacherous and the doom and gloom of everything, and then you're the sweetest man that there is.
Thank you. Well, as I say, my My blood is Italian, but my heart's American. And
Oh, that's great.
oh
That's great.
yeah, and I have the Trends Research Institute, our business. We're in Colonial Kingston, New York. It's about 90 miles north of New York City. And this is the third Dutch settlement. So it has a lot of history here. And this used to be the first capital of New York State, but the British burnt the place down back in 1777 and they moved it to Albany. But anyway, we have three of the most historic buildings in America. It's the only corner where there's a pre-Revolutionary War stone building on each corner, and we have three of them. The other one is a county museum. That's a 1691 building.
Wow.
Ours, 1750, 1774, and 1763. And I mention that because I believe myself to be a true American in the sense that I know I could never be me if I was born anywhere else. And so I love this country for everything that it's given me. And when you mention about passion, that's the passion of why we bought those buildings, is to do what we can to keep the American spirit alive. So we try to do that in our work. And, we really, really live by it as well. And by the way, one of the buildings is called the 1774 Academy. And anyone interested in art would know this famous painter, John Vanderlyn. And he was a student there. And his work is in the Capitol Rotunda, big, huge piece. So that's the background of where we are and why we really do love this country for everything, the opportunities that it's given us.
Well, the buildings look beautiful. I've seen it all through. Oops, excuse me. Through, I just hit the mic. Sorry. Looking through your videos and seeing the conferences that you hold there, and just some of the pictures that you took a shot of. It looks like you own that town, and it's just a beautiful town. You can see the quaintness as well. And I've lived in Philly for a while, and there's a lot of that feeling and that vibe and that history there as well. But it looked like a really neat place. It looked beautiful, and it looks like you've really taken care of it. I also like your studio that you have when you're doing the YouTube stuff. I think one of the things I said to you was, "Yeah, I saw you doing a video, and you were at a bar, and you're like, that's the studio." It was really cool. I mean, is that like all fake liquor
Oh
and
no, that's
water,
real
or is that the
stuff.
real
You know, we
thing? Do
have
you?
actually it's a huge room. It's about 2,500 square foot room. This used to be the place was called the Mohegan Market, Mohican, and the Mohegans were like the old AMPs of the early part of the 20th century, and there were 13 Mohegan markets on the East Coast from Hartford, Connecticut, up to Rochester, New York, down to Poughkeepsie, New York, and we have one of them, one of the ones that are left. So this is a 1901 building, and the Mohegan went broke, I think, in the mid around the Great Depression. But this building was kept a grocery store, then a vegetable store. But when we bought it, the whole place was dilapidated. It run its course many years ago, and Kingston had a downturn. IBM used to be here. IBM used to make their mainframe computers in Kingston, New York. And then when IBM left in the 80s, the place went really down. But then what happened is around 2010, the people from Brooklyn discovered the place. And anyway, this used to be a very hot area, this whole area up here. It was called the Borscht Belt. Did you ever hear that term?
Nope.
The Borscht Belt was the Catskills. Borscht, of course, for the beet stew. And the Catskills were the famous places like Grossinger's. And this is where all the great, there were over 1,000 hotels up here. Remember, it's just north of New York City in the Catskill Mountains. So it's beautiful up here in the Hudson Valley. So people used to escape the summers and come up. This is before the days of jet travel. So you had people like Phil Silvers and Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis and all the great old comedians, Shecky Green, and one after another, that all used to perform at these hotels up here. So one time this was a very, very, very popular area, and now that's coming back again. It's very big again. The whole place has changed, and it has that old vibe back again, where people are coming because they don't want to travel anymore, go on airplanes. It's not fun anymore. So they're coming up to this beautiful area in the Hudson Valley.
That's nice, and you're helping it as well. Now, I know a lot of people that talk about the Catskill Mountains and a lot of Bigfoot activity and UFO activity, so that's really cool for people like us to enjoy. And also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe, now I graduated from the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley. It's called CIA Greystone, but I believe you're not too far, if I'm tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you're too far from the Hyde Park Culinary Institute of America. Is that right?
Not very far at all.
Oh,
Yeah, you're
good
right. That's on
food.
the other side of the river. That's on the we're on the west side of the river. That's over the bridge and not too far from us
You're in a
in
good
Hyde Park.
area,
Yep.
good vibe, good food, good things going on, and that's probably why, that passion of yours keeps going. Now, I don't know if you got to hear earlier, but you do know tonight what we're doing is we're looking at the election, who's going to win the election? Going to find out, the different methodologies that people have. So earlier we were doing associative remote viewing, and that's a technique where people had said one of the answers was Hillary was not going to win. Some psychics that I talked about, they had said, one of them said it was just going to be a twist. They didn't really say who it was that was going to win the election. They just said there was going to be a big twist and a big just changed throughout the world with consciousness and things like that. And another person said it was definitely going to be Donald Trump. So, what about you? You've got a whole different methodology. So, let's talk about that and find out who you think is going to win the election on Tuesday and what's going to come from that too, from what you do for a living.
Well, just to give you a little background on how I began my career, at a graduate school, I became involved in running political campaigns in Westchester County in New York, and that was the richest county in America. And the first campaign I worked on was the mayor of Yonkers, and I was the number two guy right out of graduate school. And this is a city about, almost 300,000 people. It's not small. And then from there, I started running on, district attorneys' campaigns and, state senators. And they sent me up to Albany, New York, which was the capital, which is the capital. And at 23 years old, I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. So
Wow.
I got there right away, and I was with the majority leader. My boss was, his name was Al Abrams, wonderful guy, may he rest in peace, and the governor of New York at the time. And I'm this young guy, and I'm right there. I'm listening to all this stuff. And so from there, I went on and designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology and taught it at St. John's University. And this is at a time when virtually nobody was ever teaching this stuff. I made it all up, because of the work that I was doing. So I have a background in it, and I know what it looks like. I know, the details of running these things and what makes a winner and what makes a loser. And so in our Trends Journal, I'm going to read to you, and this is from April 2016. So that's several months ago. And this is Trend Forecast. Barring an ongoing barrage of self-inflicted wounds, despite his bluster, missteps, misquotes, and despite the general media political consensus that he has no chance of winning, we contend Trump is an odds-on favorite at this time. And as we continually stress and clearly state, while we can forecast trends, no one could predict the future. There are too many wild cards, and Trump's card does not get wilder.
True.
So that's what we wrote. Again, this is at a time when people were saying that he didn't have a chance to go this far. And that's the story as we see it, and that's still the story today. Again, the only thing that we said that would destroy him is himself, because the people are so disgusted with the establishment and the established parties. The important thing about what's going on, it's again taking a global nomic perspective and the understanding that all things are connected, and this anti-establishment, anti-elite disgust with the entrenched political parties is a global trend, particularly in Europe. You go to Italy, they have the five-star movement. They put in a woman this year, just about 3 or 4 months ago, Virginia Raggi, 37 years old, the mayor of Rome. Mm-hmm. This is a new party, an upstart party. Another woman, the mayor in Torino, the fourth largest city in Italy. You look what's going on in France with Le Pen's party. You saw what happened in the UK with the Brexit, where the people voted to leave the European Union despite all the pressure that they got from not only through the from the Prime Minister at the time, Cameron, and the other British, quote, elite, to tell the people to remain. Even Barack Obama went there and told the people, you know, folks, if you vote to leave the EU, you're going to be at the back of the queue. He actually used that line. We never use the line. You know, it's back of the line, not back of the queue. But he did everything he could, as well as Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, going over there to convince the people to stay. And they said, we don't want to stay. We want to maintain our English identity. Which, by the way, this also ties into all the other trends we talk about. Because if you live in the UK now and you want to make a buck and sell things, all you have to do is stamp it made in UK with pride and love. So that goes back to our self-sustainability trend. Here's a country of 65 million people. They're not stupid, and they have a lot of resources. So going back to Donald Trump, whether it's the ones that I mentioned or the Freedom Party in Austria, Geert Wilders' party in the Netherlands, one after the other, the AfD party in Germany that just, you know, destroyed Angela Merkel, the chancellor, in her hometown, you know, they won. So what I'm saying is there's a populist movement going on around the world, and Trump is a pop populist. He's different than these others that I mentioned to a great extent, but he's tying into the disgust that people have for the system. And it's not a disgust that's a mental dislike. It's a factual one. You go back to the Clinton campaign, Bill Clinton, go back to 1992, when he ran against Ross Perot and George Bush Sr. In all the campaign offices around the country, they used to have a slogan in the Clinton campaign. It's the economy, stupid. And that's what it is today, Connie. The people are disgusted with the system because of the lives that they're living. And the lies that have been told to them. The lives and the lies. So here are the lives. The lives are you have a guy like Obama coming in. And again, we knew that he would win. We wrote about it as he was coming in. And what convinced us that he would be a winner is that when Oprah Winfrey took him under her arm,
yes,
the whole game changed.
Yes, yes. I remember that. Hang in there for me, Gerald. We're going to take a break here and hear more about what you've got to say. Man, you're exactly right. That's exactly when it happened. That's when I thought so, too. More with Gerald Celente, if you're just now joining us to come here. Stick with us at Coast to Coast AM. CCR, have you ever seen the rain? We'll find out next week if we're going to have rain or not, right? Depending on what side you're on when it comes to the elections. So it's Coast to Coast AM that you're listening to. And, you know, here's our radio show, right? It's George's show. He's also got a TV show. And he's always got the best names, by the way, the best names of all, Beyond Belief with George Norrie. Beyond Belief. You know, it's a fairly new show. He's got 31 of them. The next one is going to be happening this Wednesday, the 9th, November 9th is the next show. So that'll be 32. But, so it's fairly new. I mean, how come no one else ever took that name before? Beyond Belief. It's a great name. You would think someone already got it. He's one of those, like, wow, I could have had a V8 kind of thing. He's an entrepreneur. The guy has ideas right and left all the time, and they're good. I mean, what a fantastic name, Beyond Belief. If you'd like to mo know more information, and if you've never seen him and you'd like to see him, well, then watch his TV show. Check out beyondbelief.com. And by the way, it's only 99 cents for the first month, and there's a lot of past shows. Like I said, there's like 31 of them up right now. Check out the trailer as well. Go to our website and you can see that and decide for yourself. I think you're going to like it. That's Nori's internet TV show with a fantastic name, Beyond Belief with George Nori. We've got Gerald. So I keep wanting to call him George. I don't know why. There's got to be something to that. But Gerald is coming up, and we're going to be taking your calls too at one point. So hang in there. But we got more to talk about and discuss with our future and his trends. Gerald Celente on Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. However, I'm one of the guest hosts on the weekend. Very happy to be here. I'm Connie Willis, and we're talking with Gerald Celente, and the Trends Journal is what he's all about. He gives you future. Wait a minute, I want to see if I can remember your phrase. Through his trends that he looks out and his data, what is it? You give history for the future, future of the history, history is now. What
You're pretty close. History before it happens.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
Well, thank you.
And you were talking about
Why the
before the other.
people are going for Trump and the dislike. It's lies and lives. And I was talking first about the lies, because their lives have been changed, and the lies that have been told. We were talking about Obama and how you and I both, saw that when Oprah Winfrey took Obama under her wing, the whole game changed. And I was mentioning to you that, just on a personal note, having appeared on just about every major network TV show and morning show, as well as Oprah, and I was on her show twice, there's no comparison between her shows and then when you were in the green room of, say, the Today Show or Good Morning America or any of them. And again, I've been on them many, many times on the networks.
Why do you say that?
Well, her show, she did not get the, notoriety she did in the following. Now, we're going back, when it was a big show. It was more than celebrity witchcraft that endeared Oprah to the millions of dedicated fans. It's her stagecraft. You went on that stage, it was a whole different show. They had balconies full of people over there, two balconies, and it was a whole different operation. It was a top-notch operation. So when I saw that she had never supported anybody before Obama. So when that happened, so the lies I was going to mention about are the lies that he lied his way into office. He lied his way into office as being an anti-war president, again, whether or not you agree or disagree with it, and he gets the Nobel Peace Prize, or I call it now a Nobel Piece of Crap Prize. Because, and then he goes in and 33,000 troop surge in Afghanistan. And then he starts the Libyan War. It's all like boom, boom, so, and then of course the Syrian and on and on. So anyway, he lied to the people about everything, again, whether you agree or disagree, and why the people, again, excuse me, are now looking for a populist president like a Trump. Like, again, I can call him a pop populist compared to the other ones. But, and again, Obama, this is a guy, remember his first day that he sits down behind that desk and he, his folks, I'm going to close Guantanamo by the end of the year. Well, I'm not really good at math, but that was, what, almost 7 years ago, No, we can't do it. What do you mean he can't do it? The guy could start a war on his own. You tell me he can't do it. Oh, he doesn't have the support. He had a Democratic Congress behind him. So the lies, one lie after another. I'm not going to be, no, I'm going to cut back on that surveillance. Cut back on it? We have more now than we ever had before. So it's one lie. So the people are tired of the lies. He lied his way into office, and he's lying his way out. And then you have the lives, people's lives. Since Obama came in 2009, since 2009, this is a fact, 95% of the wealth created has gone to the 1%. 51% of people that are working full-time, Connie, are making $30,000 or less. They're disgusted with the system that's only enriched the rich. Oh, don't forget this one from Obama. You know, folks, when I get in there, I'm going to bring those bankers to justice. I think he spelled the word wrong. It's not J-U-S-T-U-S, just us, because we're the only ones. You went over that yellow line. I mean, he'll break our chops or anything. You didn't see one head roll out of Wall Street. And this isn't fiction. This is fact. Six banks were convicted, not accused, convicted of felonies. And not one head rolled. They pay off. Hey, here's a couple of bucks. Leave me alone. Here's some money. Go. Get out of here. Go.
So that trend is still happening with what we're seeing now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now that, so it's the lies and the lives. People's lives. There is the middle class in this country is now less than it's ever been since, you know, maybe 100. The gap between the rich and the poor in the United States right now is as bad as it was during the Gilded Age. The gap, the gap between the rich and the poor is also the widest in the United States than any of the industrialized nation. Household income, Connie, is below 1999 levels. You think people hate the system?
Yes. Some people love it. They think everything's fine.
Although, again, there's always going to be those. But the majority are very much against it. And that's why you're seeing these movements worldwide. And then you saw Hillary Clinton at the debates. And then these things aren't debates. It's the presidential reality show. You have 2 minutes to answer a question. And when the gong goes off, you got 2 minutes to answer a question about foreign policy, about economic development. 2 minutes? You can't make this stuff up. So anyway, when they asked her, when WikiLeaks went in and found out that she had said at a Goldman Sachs or one of those things, they paid her, what, $250,000 an hour to talk? You can hear them BS for free. And you pay them $200,000 and they never stop. It's called payback.
I love listening to you. You're awesome. Let me ask you.
Going back to her, what she said, okay, was she wanted more globalization, open borders and open trade. When at the debate, and then she diverted and said, well, you know, the Russians hacked into our, you know, emails, and she just left go. But that's what the people are disgusted about. They want their country back, and the country's been taken away from them.
Do you see through your work that that's going to change, whether, I'm taking it you're believing from your work that Trump is the one. That will be
Again, right now it's a toss-up because we remember what we also said, that only
Wild
he could
cards.
Destroy his candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He did a pretty good job at it along the way until, you know, they got him glued to the teleprompter.
Yeah, then, calm down, Trump. Calm down. Well, but your trends say whoever gets in, you can probably already forecast what's going to happen, whoever it is that goes in with your trends.
Whoever goes in, this country is going to be divided like we've never seen before.
It seems like it already is.
But we've never seen an election like this.
No, ever.
We've never had two candidates, Connie, with such low popularity ratings. Their unpopularity rating is about 58% each. And their untrustworthy rating is also in those numbers as well. So here's what will happen. If Clinton wins, I talked about populist parties, say goodbye to the Republican Party. It's a thing of the past. It means nothing. And look at the people, look at the names in the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham.
And he's Kentucky. He's where I'm at, so.
Yeah, but I mean, does this guy, I mean, does he have a great persona that really clicks with 320 million people? These guys are—they're tired. They're nothing. What he got? Ryan? What was he doing? I think he was playing Eddie Munster before he got into. And then you look at the Democratic Party. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. What I'm saying is, you're going to see a huge populist movement, a new party form, if Hillary Clinton wins. That's going to reshape the Republican Party. The Republican Party is going to go the way of the Whigs, back in the 19th century, and that's what we see happening. If Trump wins, you're going to see massive opposition from him, from the Democratic Party, particularly the left, and the left they're the biggest. We're not far from Woodstock, New York. We're 15 minutes away from it, and I call the Woodstock liberals. You know, with their quiche-eating grin and their balsamic smile, and they hate Trump. And I said, "What are you going to? You're going to vote? Oh, yeah, I'm voting for Clinton." I said, "You call yourself a liberal?" And she, look at all the blood on her hands and the wars that she started.
What do they say to that?
I mean, you know, and then I say to them, you know, if you know that somebody's going to commit murder, and somebody comes, you know, Connie, listen, I need some money. I got to go buy some guns. I'm going to go blow some people's brains out that I don't like. Well, if you gave them money or you gave them guns, you'd be an accomplice to the crime. So you already heard Hillary Clinton on the debate say she's going to put a no-fly zone over Syria. Oh, yeah, we're going into a foreign country and saying, you can't fly your airplanes in your own country. Oh, and by the way, we're going to shoot down the Russian ones over there, too. So you know she's going to start a war. So you're going to be an accomplice to that. So you're going to be an accomplice to murder, I say. And you know what they say?
No.
Well, so what?
Ugh.
And again, I put my money where my mouth is when I speak about peace. Because I mentioned to you, we own, you know, the three of the buildings on the most historic four corners, and I launched Occupy Peace in 2015 from these corners. We shut down the street. Had Ralph Nader here, Cindy Sheehan, the brave woman who camped out in front of George Bush's ranch over there in Texas. Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, who's this, you know, well-known, you know, practicing Buddhist. And Gary Null from New York City, and I honor the founding fathers, beginning with George Washington. No foreign entanglements. You can't drink the water in Flint. You're going to fix Syria? You know, you go to Camden. You want to have a lovely time? Hey, you been to East St. Louis lately? And look what's going on in this country. And we're fighting these wars. So what I'm saying is, these are the liberals that pretend to be for peace and prosperity, and they're going to vote for someone that look at the wars. Here, anybody could do this as we're speaking. If you're at your computer, put in Hillary Clinton, CBS News, Muammar Gaddafi. And you'll see a video clip of this person on CBS News asking Hillary Clinton how she felt when she found out Muammar Gaddafi, the former head of Libya, who did nothing to the United States that Obama launched the war against, was killed. And not only was he killed, he was brutally sodomized with swords and knives on videotape. So they asked Hillary Clinton, this woman, the reporter, how did you feel, they're doing an interview, how did you feel when you found out that Muammar Gaddafi was killed? And she straightens herself up. You could see this on the video. We came. We saw. He died.
Oof.
Yeah. They should have taken her out in a straitjacket. But the liberals are going to support it because of the Trump, the, you know, the misogynist thing. And then the other hypocrisy is when you hear someone like Michelle Obama saying how she was shaken to the core from the words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. And how terrible that is for our children. Oh, yeah? And you invited all these rap singers over to the White House, the People's House? Oh, an hour buck to wine and dine them? Read their language, the ones that they brought over there. We broke it all out. Oh, what'd they have, Jay-Z over there the other day? Campaigning for Hillary Clinton?
Right, yep.
And the language that he came out with? They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites.
Yeah, it seems to be a double-sided thing, doesn't it? Or a double standard there, doesn't it?
It's, the liberals are the worst. As I say, the liberals are liars. They know that they've been conned, and they're not stupid. They lack courage.
Who was it that said, and actually it might have been Hitler, that said, just hold on to the lie, consistently tell the same lie, and at one point they will believe it. Was that Hitler?
Hitler and Goebbels, yeah. Yep, and that's what but they know better, but they don't have the courage. They lack courage. That's what I say there. I call them, the ones in Woodstock over here. You know, they're quiche eating grin and balsamic smile.
That's funny.
Funny little look.
That's funny. I love your descriptions on things. Well, okay, so we see these trends. You see these trends, and you've been predicting trends for a long, long, long time. So how is our economy, how's the foreign policy going to look? I mean, who do you think is going to be best for both of those?
I would say, and again, I'm not supporting him. I just want to make this clear. I'm not voting for either of them.
Because you're a political atheist.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the values that I have. And I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm against, with things like, we're going to build a military even bigger. The military's big enough, in my view. I want to build a nation. And I again, going back to somebody who really knew General Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces during World War II, two-term Republican president, his farewell address, the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children.
So I think I know your answer to that. So everybody hang in there. We've got more to do and talk about and get into, because he can go on, can he? I love it. He is great to listen to. It's Gerald Salante. And we're going to be taking your questions as well. So I know you got a ton of them. You keep sending them to me. I'm doing my best here, folks. But wow, he's an incredible dude. Check out our website, and you're going to find out all the different links where you can also tune into Gerald yourself, too. Stick around. More to come here on Coast to Coast AM.